How do you receive anything from God? How can you have God help you when you need help? Or how do you get a prayer answered when you ask him to do something for you? What do you have to do? Oh, I was going to tell you. Matthew 21:22. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, what? Believing you shall receive. So what do you have to do to receive something from God based on that verse? Believe. Now, believe is to be persuaded. Be persuaded that God will keep his word, or to rely upon. Just rely upon God that if he says he'll do something for you, he'll do it. Or it can mean to be confident in. Just be confident in God that he will keep his word, that he will do what he promises, and that's how you can receive from God. And everybody can do that, can't they? God isn't trying to make it hard to do stuff for people. God wants to do stuff for people. It's not a contest to see who can get God to do stuff. And the top five people in the world get God's blessings. God wants to take care of everybody. He wants to take care of you. And he didn't make it hard. He didn't make it like a puzzle or a crossword or something like that in order to get for you to get results from God. All you have to do is have some confidence in him. Have confidence in God that he'll keep his word. And he will answer your prayers if it's according to his word. He won't kill your uncle for you, right? He won't possess a girl and make her become your girlfriend, guys. Okay? If you're trying that, it won't work. Okay? But if he's promised something, he'll do it. And how do you get him to do it? Well, he wants to do it, first of all. Have confidence in him. It can mean to allow oneself to be persuaded, especially by words. If you believe something, you've heard something, you've been persuaded by something, and it's to be persuaded that God will do what he says he'll do. Another definition is a firmly relying confidence in God. Firmly relying confidence in God. You just keep having confidence in God that he will do what he says he'll do because of what you've heard from his word. Look at Matthew 9. And this is what allows God to do stuff for you when you have confidence in him, when you trust him. When you're persuaded that he will keep his word. You don't have to be a super duper disciplined special person with the mind powers of a mental giant or something like that. You need to have confidence in God. Just have confidence in God that he will do what he says. Matthew 9:27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him. How did they do that? I don't know. Two blind men followed him, crying and saying, "Thou son of David, have mercy on us." And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him after a while. And Jesus saith unto them, what did he want to know? They wanted to have their sight back. What was he looking for? What do you want to know? Have you been good? Have you been good little boys and girls this week? Have you stolen from anybody? Have you thought perfect thoughts? What did he want to know? He said to them, believe ye that I am able to do this? Are you persuaded or are you confident that I can do this? And able means, do you think I have the power to do this or I'm capable of doing it? That's what he asked them. Not, have you been good? What church do you go to? How many times do you go to fellowship? Do you give money to people? What did he want to know? Are you confident I can do this? Are you persuaded I can do this? Believe you that I can do this? They said, yea, Lord, yeah, I can. And that's what they had to do. That's all they had to do was have confidence that he was able to do it. And then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your, what? Faith. That's the noun form of believing. According to your faith, be it unto you. According to your persuasions, according to your confidence, be it unto you. And did they get healed? Yeah. And what does that mean for you? What do you have to do to receive things from God when you ask him, when you pray for stuff? Be really good? Be perfect? Go to the right church? Pick the right fellowship? You know there's like a million fellowships nowadays with all funny names. You ever notice that? When I start my fellowship, it's going to be just numbers. Ministry 789. Confidence in God, here's another definition of believing. It's confidence in God that is solid. Solid. That does not yield. that does not yield under pressure. In other words, you just keep knowing God will come through for you. You know you need his help, and you keep being confident, no matter what happens, that he will come through for you. You don't ask him to do something and then immediately look around to see if it's going to happen. You ask him to do something, and you look at his word, and you know because he's promised it, you know, you're confident that it's going to happen. I always think of David and Goliath. Remember that story? It was true. Goliath, as soon as David decided he was going to go after Goliath, did Goliath lie down and offer his head to him? A lot of times the situation doesn't change until it changes, right? That's a deep truth, isn't it? A lot of time a situation won't change until it actually changes, right? And it can look really bad until it what? Changes. And so it's a firmly relying confidence in God that does not yield under pressure, that is not moved or shaken easily. It is to look to God for help and to be sure that he will be there to help you. It's to look to God for help, to rely on God for help, and to be sure that he will be there to help you. Did we go to, what do we read, Matthew? Go to Mark 9. Thank you. Mark 9. Does that make sense? Which, Bob, did you drink the water? Mark 9, 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, when the boy saw Jesus, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child, since he was little. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us. This guy said to Jesus, if you can do anything, if you have the power to do anything, you know, have compassion and please help. And Jesus saith unto him, if thou canst what? Jesus had the power to do something. Just like you have the power to heal people and to help people in this way. If thou canst believe, that's what he asked him, if thou canst believe, and look at this, all things are possible to him that what? Whatever God promises is doable if you will have confidence in God. If God says that he'll do something, it can be done. And what do you have to do to see it done? Have confidence in God, a firmly relying confidence in God. Once again, a confidence that doesn't yield, that's solid, that doesn't yield under pressure, that's not moved or shaken. To just be sure that he will be there like he says he will, and he'll take care of it, right? It's trusting in yourself? No. We all know we're once in a while kind of weak and stupid, right? Like 10 years ago one time. It's trusting in who? God. To have confidence in God. And all things are possible. All things that God has promised are possible when you have confidence in him. Now, it's to have confidence in things that God has promised, right? That God has said. Not things that you make up. Okay? Look at Philippians 4. Unless you can come through for yourself all the time like that. If you have the power to do that, fine. Make up stuff. Philippians 4. It can be something that God has promised in his word, or it can be something that God has showed you, right? But don't make stuff up. It has to be something God has said he'll do. Philippians 4, verse 19. Excuse me. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Could you say from reading that verse that you will always have your needs met? Could you be confident in that? Sitting here right now, for the rest of your life, all 300 years, right? Can you say, I will always have my needs met? Can't you? Isn't that what God says? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You could say that. I know I'm always going to have my needs met because God promised it. And then you could say, and the way I'm going to have them met is I'm going to win the lottery tomorrow. And I'm going to be so confident that that's how they're going to be met and so disappointed when it doesn't happen, right? What does God say? He'll meet your needs, right? Do you need a job, maybe? So, can God get you a job? As a singing cat in the Broadway show, The Singing Cats? Right? God's going to meet my needs, and I'm going to be a singing, dancing cat in The Return of Cats. So God's going to make cats come back to Broadway, and he's going to turn me into a Broadway dancer. And I'm going to believe that. Go ahead. But if God shows you something, you believe it, it's going to come to pass. You understand? Don't make it up, though. I'm going to be the President of the United States. That's going to be my job. No. That's what I'm going to be. Look at Romans 10. Romans 10, verse 17. So then faith, or that confidence in God, to be persuaded in God, cometh by, what's it say?
Hearing.
And the word, there's a preposition in here that means it marks the origin of something. And the origin of what you believe is what you hear. What you hear. And to hear means what you listen to and consider, or what you take notice of or pay attention to. So if you want to have great confidence in God, what should you listen to and consider, pay attention to? What's wrong with everybody? Right? No, if you want to have great confidence in God, you should pay a lot of attention to, what's it say in the rest of that verse? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God. Pay a lot of attention to the word of God. If you pay a lot of attention to what's wrong with all the believers and all that kind of stuff, it might not give you a lot of confidence. But the origin of what you believe is what you've been paying attention to, what you've been listening to, what you've been putting your attention on. All right? And look at Matthew 14. Matthew 14, 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain to pray. It's a poem. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And what did Jesus say? Come. So could he do it? Could he do it? Yeah. Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. He did the impossible because it was available, right? He did it. But when he, what did he do next? But when he what? He started paying attention to the situation around him, and the wind boisterous, instead of looking at the word, but the process, when he saw the wind boisterous, he was what? Afraid. And that's what will happen. If you pay all your attention to like the newspapers, all the weird television shows, or try to understand Lost, you'll be afraid. Okay? You'll be dismayed and afraid. And I think that you should be afraid of black smoke in the woods. I know that. Okay. If you know that. But if you're all the time just paying attention to all the bad news, which it seems like it's been bad news my whole life, right? It's always been bad news ever since I was little. It's depressing. Or you pay attention to, you know, what everybody says about the economy and all that, you're going to be afraid. You know, if it's 10% unemployment, 90% are working. Did you ever think about that? So it's not that bad. But it's what you pay attention to, and you want to pay attention to the word. And this is really weird here. Verse 30 again. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And Jesus immediately let him go. No. Immediately stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of what? Little faith. O thou of little faith. Very little confidence. O thou of little faith. Wherefore didst thou doubt? Was that a nice thing to ask? What if Jesus asked you that? Would you go home and go, Jesus asked me why I doubted. I was on the water in a storm. You know? That was really mean. Because anyone would know why I doubted. I was standing on water in a storm. It doesn't seem reasonable to me that he would ask that. Well, I guess it would seem reasonable to be afraid if you didn't believe in God, right? If you didn't know God. And Jesus Christ expected people to believe in God. He expected people to believe God. He would ask people this a lot. You can look it up sometime. I'm not going to go through them all. But he sort of thought, you know, why don't you have confidence in God? He would say that to people. Isn't that weird? And you know why he would say that? I don't know. But I think a part of it might be that he knew people could have confidence in God. He knew that it was possible for them to have confidence in God. And I think that he knew God. And he knew that God would do stuff for people. If God promises something, it will come to pass. Of little faith is trusting too little. O thou of little faith, you who trust too little. Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? And Peter said, because the waves were this high, going up and down. I'm a fisherman who's seen bad water my whole life. And of course I would doubt. But Jesus Christ, well, if you believe in God, if you believe God is who he is, why would you doubt? Look at John 5. John 5:39. Search the what? Search the scriptures. Look at the word. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And you will not come to me, but you might have life. Now you might have life. I receive not honor from men. Jesus Christ wasn't looking for glory or recognition from men. But I know you that you have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God? These guys, they were religious. They believed in God. They believed in the God of the Old Testament, the same God that we have. And yet they were more interested in getting glory one from another, or, you know, they were more interested in what they thought about each other than what God thought about them. They were more interested in impressing each other. You understand that? Than in what God thought. And whenever you get in a group, like right now you're in a group, and when you go home you might be in a group, you can figure out what looks good to the other believers, can't you? And what'll make you look like a good believer, right? But is that going to get you answers to prayer? No. Actually believing God, having confidence in God, is going to get you answers to prayer. Like, what do you have to do to look like a good believer? Go to fellowship? Probably. Haven't you figured it out? You can figure it out anywhere you go. Go to fellowship, and if you're in New Jersey, you have to be rude and sarcastic to be considered a good believer, right? And smile, and pray good, and be nice to the leadership, unless you're in New Jersey. And wear nice clothes? I don't know. But you can figure out how to look good to other people and to fit into the crowd, but that doesn't mean you'll get your prayers answered. And would you rather have your prayers answered and God do cool things for you, or to look good, right? Which would you rather do? I would rather look good. No. And what God looks for, it says here again, verse 44, how can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? The recognition that comes from God. And what do you think God looks for? Look at Hebrews 11. Is this making any sense so far? Should we just try to make Alyssa laugh as much as possible? I can tell that you're a good believer because you laugh at my jokes. Do you do that on purpose? Okay, Hebrews 11. By faith, or believing confidence in God, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. But before his testimony, he had this, before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without what? A firmly relying confidence in God because of what you've seen in his word or because of what he said. Without a firmly relying confidence in God, it is impossible to please him. So you can do all sorts of stuff, and religion does do all sorts of stuff. Sometimes the Christian religion does everything but have confidence in God. Everything but just trust God and refuse to budge on that God will keep his word. All activities, all this other kind of stuff, knowing how to look good, planning cool things, planning to do things across the whole world and back again and all this other kind of stuff. People can do everything except what God looks for, what pleases God, and what pleases God according to his word. Believing or faith, when you have confidence in him, that pleases God, when you have confidence in him. Not what you look like necessarily, what other people think about you necessarily. If you have confidence in God, when push comes to shove, do you know God will come through for you? Do you know that God is a good God who will keep his word if you said so? But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That's a good one, right? Believe that he really is. And that's be sure. Not hope to see a sign of it. I saw a rainbow. I think he's there. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Some people translate that he does pay wages. But I think of it like some of us go to work every day, don't we? And we kind of expect something at the end of the week. What is that? Are you supposed to get paid to go to work? Because my mom pays them for me to go there. No. If you thought you weren't going to get paid, would you work there? Do you think twice about getting paid in most places? I shouldn't say that because at my job I wonder sometimes. But do you? You go to work and you're going, why am I here? Oh, to get paid. But what if they don't know? Right? Get paid. Well, do you think God will do what he says? That pleases him. That blesses him. That really pleases God. And look at that verse again. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. It's impossible to. Without confidence in him. No matter how cool you look and how many Bible verses you know and how quick your mind is, confidence in God, a firmly relying confidence in God. Look at John 5. And if you were in Jesus Christ's group, he might not care if you washed your hands sometimes, but you know what he kind of cared about? That you had confidence in God. It was about God. What we're doing here is about God, isn't it? And so we should have great confidence in him. We should expect him to keep his word. In John 5, 39. I just read that. I knew that. You know why I said it again? Because it was written on a page. But it's the same page that I looked at before. Hebrews 8. No, Matthew 8. This is nerve-wracking being up here, you know. It's not as easy as it looks. Because there's like 10 people in here looking at me like I'm an idiot. And it's like the only 10 people I notice. See, you don't notice. You just see my face. But I have to see this. There's one guy going like this. And Pete is panning, doing pan shots with the camera back there. Zoom in pan shots. He's an Italian director. And I just noticed I have a hair sticking out of my nose. So, Matthew 8, 23. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Can you picture that? When God describes something, you should picture it. These guys knew the ocean, most of them. Not the ocean, the Sea of Galilee. They knew water. They were fishermen. And this was a storm that was so big that the waves were the ship was covered by the waves. The waves were going over the ship. Would that be scary to normal people? Yeah, if they don't have a God. If they have a bad God, it'd be scary. Any normal person would be scared if they didn't have a God who was bigger than that. But supposedly we have what? A God who is bigger. But he was asleep. Verse 25, and his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said to them, you're right. There's water everywhere. Why didn't you wake me up sooner? There's water coming over the boat. This is dangerous. He said to them, why are ye fearful? Huh? Why am I fearful? It's a scary situation. It's 10% unemployment. Why are I fearful? I could give you 1,000 reasons why to be fearful. If you have a bad God, if your God doesn't do anything, if he can't help in any way, if your God's an idol or something or a piece of stone or whatever, yeah, it's very, you should be afraid. But what did Jesus Christ say? Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith, of little trust, who trust so little? And then they went home and said, Jesus made fun of us for being afraid. And it was scary too. And he said unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Be afraid if your God sucks. Now, how did you translate that, Milagros? Sucks. How would she do that? What would she say? How would you translate sucks? Tell me. What sucks? Stinks? Sucko. El sucko. How about blows? Blows? How could he say those things? Look at Luke 1. How could he say, why are you afraid in a huge storm with the water going over the boat and sucking the boat under? And no. Luke 1. Stinks. If your God stinks, if he doesn't do anything for you. Luke 1. See, never mind. Luke 1. Verse 37. Why did he say, why are you afraid? Because in Luke 1, 37, it says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. So you don't have to be afraid. You can choose to have confidence in him, a firm, unyielding confidence in him. Impossible means there is nothing that God is unable to do. Now, I know biblical scholars are going with their razor-sharp minds, you can't lie. But that's not the point, really, is it? The point is, he can do it. There is nothing that he's unable to do. So why are you afraid? That's what he said. Could he fix a storm? Could he fix whatever's going on with you? There is nothing that our God is unable to do. Look at Jeremiah 32. Knowing that there's nothing impossible for God, he said, why are you afraid? There's nothing impossible for God. There's nothing God can't fix. He's fixed hard things. He's done cool things. Everything he does still works. See all the flowers come out this spring? It all still works. Everything he put in motion still works. Jeremiah 32, verse 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power, and stretched forth and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. He's made the heavens and the earth by his power, and there's nothing too hard for him. So that's why Jesus Christ could say, with all love, why were you afraid of that storm? And he also, I guess, knew that people could believe and expected them to have confidence in God. Look at Jeremiah 32. Aha. 27. My mind has come back. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. And the God of all flesh refers to the one who breathed into man the breath of life. The God of all flesh, he breathed the breath of life into Adam. Is there anything too hard for me? Is there anything too hard for God in your life? That's going on in your life that God can't take care of? He made the heavens and the earth. He breathed into Adam the breath of life. Is there anything too hard for him? Look at Isaiah 50. And so Jesus Christ could say, why are you afraid? There's nothing too hard for God. God can fix the storm. God can fix your situation. God can. And you don't have to be magic or perfect or wear the right clothing or belong to the right group for God to fix a situation. You have to have confidence in him, a firmly relying confidence in him. And look at the word. Keep your eyes on that. God can change a situation. God will keep his promises. There's nothing too hard for him. In Isaiah 50, verse 2. How did you translate that, Milagros? Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none answer? None to answer. Listen to God here. Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Has God's hand been shortened that he can't redeem anymore? Or have I no power to deliver? God's saying, why is anyone expecting me to help? Has my hand been shortened that I can't redeem? Or I no longer have power to deliver? Can God still deliver? Can God still do great things? Yeah. Behold, at my rebuke, I dry up the sea. He can still do stuff. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh because there is no water and dieth for thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. He does cool things. He still delivers. His hand hasn't been shortened. And so Jesus Christ could say, why were you afraid of that storm? Because he knew God, and he knew God would do stuff, and God can do stuff. Psalm 104. Our God can do stuff. He's not a bad God. He comes through. He delivers. And you don't have to be perfect and, you know, speak perfectly all the time and clean yourself up really well and do good works all the time. You know what you need to do to receive stuff from God? Have confidence in him. He wants to help you. He's not trying to make it hard, like a maze or something like that you have to get through. He wants to bless you. You just have to have confidence in him. Psalm 104, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest thyself with light as with a garment. He's big. He's the creator who searches out the heavens, stretches out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind. He can do stuff. He has power. His hand hasn't been shortened. Who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire, who laid the foundations of the earth, that it should not be removed forever. He does stuff. He's done stuff. He can take care of you. So Jesus Christ could say, why are you afraid of a little storm compared to what we just read, who our God is and what he can do? Look at verse 31. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. Now just picture these things, these figures. He looketh on the earth and at what? He looks at the earth and it shakes. That's how big and powerful he is. And he wants to help. He looketh on the earth and it trembleth. He touches the hills and they smoke. I think that's cool. Good thing to think about. And look at Psalm 107. Speaking of storms, Psalm 107. verse 21. They that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble, the people. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man who are at wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm. It even talked about it in the Old Testament, what God would do in a storm, what can do in a storm. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet, and he bringeth them unto their desired haven. What does it take for God to keep his word to you? Have confidence in him, a firmly relying confidence in him. And look at Psalm 86. Besides God having the power to take care of your situation, he wants to. He loves you. He wants your life to be wonderful. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to be in health. He wants to be a part of your life. He wants to help. Psalm 86, verse 14. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of anger. Full of what? He's full of compassion. He knows what you go through. It bothers him when you're hurting and when you have a need. He wants to help. He has the desire to help. Full of compassion and gracious. He wants to bestow good on you for free, even if you're a rascal. He even likes your rascally self because he's a God of grace. And look at this. This is nice. And long-suffering. He's very patient. He's very patient with you. And plenteous in mercy and truth, abundant goodness. He's full of abundant, wonderful goodness. He wants to help, and he has the power to help in a situation that you might need his help. And if you ask for his help, what you have to do to get it? Have confidence in him, a firmly relying confidence in him. Look at Psalm 35. Verse 27, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. God even gets pleasure out of helping you. He enjoys it. The word pleasure means great delight when accomplished. When he gets to do something for you, he has great delight. Prosperity means to be made whole or sound. When you trust him and he gets to take care of your situation, that blesses him. Isn't that cool? Maybe that's a part of why it pleases God when you believe. Because he gets to help you. And it really blesses him when he gets to do stuff for you. You ever have somebody that you really love? I did once. Turned out she was a Barbie doll. No, it's not true. Right? Did you ever have someone in your life? Okay. Did you ever have a life? Let's start there. Did you ever have someone in your life you really loved? Well, what happened to him? No. I don't know. Let's not go there. But didn't it bless you to do stuff for them? If they needed help, didn't you get blessed more than them when you helped them? Remember when you helped someone once? Well, if you really love someone and you get to help them through something, doesn't that bless you? Well, it blesses God to help you. He gets pleasure in it. And it even says, a part of that definition is he pursues that because he gets so much pleasure out of it, to make you whole, to make your life whole. So he has the power to take care of a situation, and he really gets blessed doing it. And all it takes is to have confidence in him that doesn't yield, that doesn't bend, a firmly relying confidence in God. Look at Psalm 46. After I finish here, Dean's going to come up, right? Where's Bob? Where's Dean? Okay. So, I'm almost done. I'll give you a cue. Psalm 46. Is this true that God is our refuge and our strength? And is he really a very present help in trouble? So would it be fair to say, why are you afraid? Why do you have no faith? I'm not suggesting you go around telling people that the rest of the advance. I'm bald. Why have you no faith? You wear glasses? Where is your faith? I'm hungry. Oh, thou of little faith. Let's pretend that the only mind you can work with is your own. I know it's hard. And other people's minds are easier to work with, I know. But let's pretend that you're going to work with your own mind for a while, okay? So you can ask yourself, there's a squirrel in the kitchen. Why was I so afraid? But don't ask other people, okay? Okay. But if this is true, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, right there when you're in trouble. Therefore, will not we, what? Fear, though the earth be removed. That's a pretty extreme situation, isn't it? I'm not going to be afraid if the earth's removed. I don't know where I'm going to go. I'm going to, as soon as they stop the shuttle program, I'm going to grab one of those shuttles and put it in my garage. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Consider that. That's a bad situation, and I'm not going to be afraid in that. Or if my car gets a flat either. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved, he uttered his voice, the earth melted. The God of hosts, he's got a lot of resources. The God of hosts is with us. He's with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Consider that. Stop and think about that. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still. Let go. Let him take care of it. Let go of it. And know that I am the creator of the heavens and the earth. Stop and think about it. I mean, we're here because of God, except for the three of you that your parents made come. We're not here to impress each other, right? It's too late for that. I already have a girlfriend. Or she's my wife. No, it's the same person. Aren't we here because of God? Let it go then. Let him take care of you. Let go. Be still and know that I am God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Elohim. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. He will. The Lord of hosts is with us. He's with you. The God of Jacob is our refuge. He's your refuge. Think about that. All right? So I'm done, team.